Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, mob, yarn up strong. And we're taking you right through to 12 noon, midday. That's a one-hour program here on National Talk Black. Voice for our people, so do utilise it. We're going to catch up over yarn with Eugene Orwell, and he heads up to CIFA. And that acronym stands for Torres and Cape Indigenous Futsal Association. And they've got some programs happening in the Cape. So we're going to catch up over yarn with the lad. On the line we have Eugene Orwell, my brother. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, pretty good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much for coming to the program. Eugene, so we say, who your mob, where you from? Who's Eugene Orwell?
Myself?
Yes.
I was born in Orwell, came over when I was 27, I'm 63 now.
Okay, beautiful. So this is home.
This is home.
Fantastic.
Home.
So we're talking about the Torres and Cape Indigenous Futsal Association. Come and try. So let's talk about futsal first of all, the sport itself. I'm picking up indoor soccer?
Yeah, that's correct. Playing on the hard surface like basketball courts in most places around the world. Very fast, very enjoyable, very inclusive. Soccer on a basketball court with goals, which same size as hockey goals.
Okay, and how many in the team?
Five, one goalkeeper and four on the court, so it's five against five.
Becoming very popular, hasn't it? I mean, how long has futsal been operating for?
Sometimes in the 80s it was established as a formal sport somewhere in South America, in Uruguay. But it caught like fire everywhere around the world. I'd say it about, just in Australia, about 300,000 people played.
Yeah.
Just in Cairns, about 1,000 in the centre in Redlinch. And it's very inclusive. Don't have to be good. You can be good. Where we did a come and try in NPA.
Yeah, Northern Peninsula area up there. So you've got a tournament happening, and that's kicking off next week, 12th of April, 14th of April. Is that right?
It's not exactly a tournament. What we're trying to do is establish a continuity.
Okay.
So we were there for come and try. We visit. They have three campuses in NBA. We visited them all, and it was nearly 100% participation from
good.
The students. Officially, it's a five against five on a court. But
yes.
We played 10 against 10. We played three against three. We played on a basketball size court. We played on one of the campuses that didn't have that stadium.
Yeah.
And it was just where they eat their lunch.
Yeah, so sure. Underneath the covered way there.
Yeah, and it was almost like a table tennis size area, but we managed, and everybody had a great time.
Well, when you're talking NPA area, you're talking about home of rugby league and AFL. So futsal is making its way into the area.
It's not exactly AFL home, but definitely basketball.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Basketball and rugby league, five small communities, they play each other in rugby league, they all have filled with life. The issue we find in communities is there's no structure support for children.
Okay.
And that's what we aim at. So if we compare, for example, European kids, mainstream kids, where
yes.
the parents give them structure.
Girls and boys.
And they don't. Normal kids don't know what is free play other than the screen.
Exactly.
On the other hand, in communities, it's merely free play and there's hardly any structure play. So we're trying to balance it a bit and try to get continuity with structure play, with local operation, mainly for children. only for children.
And we're talking girls and boys?
Girls and boys, yeah.
Fantastic.
When you look at them, they are tough as any.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful, which is great to see. And talking about the program you got happening up there, when are the dates and where are you going to in NPA?
So we did the Come and Try in the campuses at New Magical Hall in the beginning of March.
Yep.
And this coming week on Tuesday and Wednesday, the college were kind enough to let us use the Bamaga Primary Campus Hall.
Yes.
For the activity for the whole year, which we're trying to do on a regular basis.
Good.
And we'll try to get a local committee going. The two people who did play futsal in the past and locals who are involved in basketball and can see the benefit for the children from that sport.
Yes.
And the idea is to talk to people and establish local activities. So we don't need to travel like I believe AFL probably travel and does a clinic a week here and then they go to another place and another place. We try to organize it so it's local.
Fantastic. And it's open for girls and boys, is that right?
That's correct. And I'm speaking to Football Queensland, and they say that walking football has been quite a hit.
Cool.
Around. And they're talking to me about trying to recruit the 50-year-old and over to do walking futsal.
Yes.
And that's something we would like to look at.
Yes.
And we're talking about kids from 5-year-olds. To 100-year-old.
Yeah, beautiful. I love it. And look, it's about keeping active and living life to the fullest. And anything to keep our people moving, away from the TV and the PlayStations and video games. Good to see people getting active, my friend.
That's the main purpose.
Yeah, beautiful.
And we found that futsal is very good at getting people moving.
All right, fantastic. Well, listen, great talking with you. Thank you very much, Eugene. All the best to it all. And big shout out to the mob there at NPA.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And
you take care.
Your regards.
All the best, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there, Eugene Orwell, and he heads up at TCFA, which stands for Torres and Cape Indigenous Futsal Association. So getting our people active and getting them moving and in regards to healthy living, healthy lifestyle. So futsal is coming to a place near you, so do look at the ways of getting active with regard to futsal. And they're going to be at the Bamaga Primary School campus, that is, establishing futsal activities from the 12th and 14th of April. That's next week, so do enjoy. In regards to a community consultation, have your say, Indigenous Voice proposal. If Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and the government will have worked together to build an Indigenous Voice proposal for two important parts, local and regional voices and a national voice. Community consultation on the proposal will be held in Cairns Tuesday, 13th of April. And otherwise, you can visit voice.niaa.gov.au to learn more about the proposal and register for consultation sessions so that you can have your say. So a voice for our people. I'm going to catch up a yarn very soon with Ross Andrews, Mayor of Yarrabah, and he's part of the co-design group member of the Indigenous Voice Consultation and in regard to a voice for our mob here on the Big Island. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here at 1-800-422-416.
We sing and we dance from the town to the bush. Winching them up, did Sarah push. One of them dance and fly like a bird. Up over the land and the whistle that you heard is the sound of the kong-kong. Call of the eagle, dangerous and proud. The totem of my people when I'm hunting. I can see you from a distance. Bring back the food from my brothers and my sisters.
We're black fish, don't wear pride.
I'm a kong kong titter from around the way.
and I socialize and I rap all day. With a wig peep from Arakoon, just shake a leg to the funky tune. Flick flick kumbala past the cup. Come on with people, turn the music up. I'm proud of my culture and I'm proud of my slang. Bottom and crew is not the rum gang.
We're black, fish, dumb, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love. We're black, fish, dumb, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love.
We're black, we're strong, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love. We're black, we're strong, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love.
I'm a strong, independent woman from Cape York. A leader in progress for the future. You can see that spotlight shining on me. The blacker, the berry, the cuter. Rising up for my people, being their voice. Paving the way for my children. Winona, Hannah, Salome, Jose. These strong families that we're building. There ain't no stopping me, youpla. My people, our culture, their future. Kang Kang Matakuz, I told ya. You never get the best of my culture.
We're black, fish, dumb, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love. We're black, fish, dumb, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love.
We're black, we're strong, we're proud. Flick people, tell the beat of love. We're black, we're strong, we're proud. Flick people,
tell the beat of love.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. Us BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your sober calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, latest sentencing research tells it as it is. Latest research by the Queensland Sentencing Advisory Council shows that while fewer Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are committing offences overall, those who are more likely to receive sentences of imprisonment. And we're talking about connecting the dots. The sentences of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in Queensland examines the trends and patterns in the sentences of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. We're going to catch up with Yana, retired judge and council chair, John Robinson, and also Cairns, a council member of the chair of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Advisory Panel. That's Bevan Costello. Very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Start with you, Brother Bevan. Let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm a Waka Waka man from here in southeast Queensland, around Cherbourg here. And, I'm an elder. And as you say, I sit on the at a sentencing council, and I'm also the chair of the Indigenous Advisory Board that takes our stories up to council.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Over to you, retired judge and council chair, John Robinson. When we're talking about these figures, well, numbers don't lie, and First Nation people, like I said, are likely to receive sentencing of imprisonment, which is not good this day and age, and to bring those numbers down, yes?
Well, it's not, Trevor. When you see that a lot of Torres Strait Islander people are serving sentences of 6 months or less, it's and when you go up to 12 months, it's about 75% of people from the First Nations communities given sentences of 12 months or less. You know, surely we can do better, given
sure.
that we know about the cost of imprisonment, and given that we know that it really doesn't do much about recidivism, and it doesn't do much about the causes behind people's offending.
Sure. And when we're talking about imprisonment, let's also look at our sisters, our females. There's numbers are being high in that department as well, isn't it? Isn't that the case, John?
Yes, yeah, certainly is, Trevor. It's quite alarming. Over that 14-year data period, the percentage of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women being sentenced to terms of imprisonment has increased by 300%. It's still not enormous numbers. We're talking about going from 178 cases to 576. It's still alarming, and it's still depressing that we're still imprisoning our First Nations people at a time when we know that prison has very little effect apart from incapacitating people. It doesn't do much about addressing the causes of their criminal behaviour, and that's much better done, particularly for relatively minor offending, which is what this is.
Exactly.
In their own communities.
Exactly. Over to you, Brother Bevan. When we're talking about mob being in prison, well, anybody, black or white, to hold somebody in prison, look, over $100,000 a year, if you look at half that amount of money going towards a person's betterment in regard to prevention or committing crime or to help them in regards to their focus for their future, that would be a better investment instead of putting mob in jail, yes?
Oh, for sure. We've got a number of our. I work here within the Murray court system here on Sherbourg, and that sort of money would help us greatly in organising programs for our men.
Yes.
Rather than put those people in jail. But I also want to say about this report, some of the factors.
Yes.
In our people being overrepresented in the prison. You know, we have things such as like socioeconomic issues, you get the cultural issues, historical factors, all those sorts of things that we need to look at when we're looking at this data. And then the best thing about our Indigenous advisory group is that we give a personal. We're on the ground, and we live in these communities.
Yes,
we know what the issues are. We know what the cultural, not the historical issues, factors. We know the cultural issues, so we can give an insight into why some of these people are being put into prison.
Mm, exactly. And you've got a beautiful network there that can help our mob get on the right track, so to speak.
Yeah. We've got a really good setup here. Well, I can only speak here on Sherbet, where I live, and our setup that we got here, especially with our Murray Court program here, is really working really well, and we've got some really great outcomes.
Yeah, exactly. And so we've still got a long way to go, brother, but here are the figures that have come out, and the figures don't lie, and we still need to close that gap because it seems to be widening. Yep.
It is, yeah. But like John said earlier, we got we only stand for I think it's only 3.8% of the population.
Yep.
Age 10 and over, but we account for nearly 15% or 14.5% of the cases of those people sentenced. So that's
still high numbers. No, that's right, exactly. Well, the fact that we're talking about it here and now on national radio, government's listening, and we need to work together in regarding closing the gap. But thank you very much, Brother Bevan, for coming to the program. And thank you, John Robinson, for the conversation as well, my friend.
Thanks for having us on, Trevor. We really appreciate it.
All the best, gentlemen. Take care, eh?
Yeah. Thanks, Bev.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
A deadly yarn there. That was retired judge and council chair, John Robinson, and also a Waka Waka man, a council member and chair of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Advisory Panel, Bevan Costello. And we're talking about the latest sentencing research tells it as it is, where latest research by the Queensland Sentencing Advisory Council shows that while fewer Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are committing offences overall, those who are most likely to receive a sentence of imprisonment. And we're talking about connecting the dots here, the sentences of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in Queensland. examines trends and patterns in the census of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So we need to bring those numbers down. There's still a big gap there regarding First Nation people being imprisoned. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
Searching all my life for someone just like you. Then you came strolling down the avenue into my arms. Hands in pockets, looking at my shoes, I nearly walked on by. Something caught my eye about you. Now I know you are the love of my life, and I swear I'll cherish you every day. To have found you that day.
Beautiful track there, Love of My Life, Todd Williams here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Yarn up with the bully around Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Give me a call, have your say, your mob. I'm going to catch up with beautiful Samantha on the line. Samantha, how are you?
I am very well now that I hear your voice.
Good to hear you, darling. You're travelling well?
Oh, yes, yes. Trevor, your station makes my day. It really does.
Beautiful.
I must admit. Beautiful.
Good to hear that, darling. So you like the music and you like the yarns,
oh,
hey?
Oh, everything, yes. And I love your interviews with all these beautiful people. It's very informative. I love it.
Very informative, which is
for me.
Exactly, which is what it's all about, isn't it? Having conversations and hearing very important people talking about things that matters to all of us. You know, black and white, male or females, Australians or not. You know, very important conversations.
It is. It's very important, and you keep the good work up. It is wonderful. I never change the channel. I go to sleep at it, and I wake up in the morning to it, and it's wonderful.
So First Nation Radio is running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in your household.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Well, you keep us alive, so thank you very much for sharing, Samantha.
Thank you, Trevor. You keep up the good work, too.
All the best to you.
Everyone.
Okay, now, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Samantha, a loyal listener from WA, and she's being cared by her beautiful son, John. Big shout out, John. Never got to say hello, but hello, John. We should have a yarn one day, John. And Samantha, you say we should have faith, courage, and lunch sometime together soon. Your shout. Have you say your mob yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Warriors, TV Warriors.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from the live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Look, a very important space, a voice for Indigenous Australia. That's what we're pushing for. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Councillor and Mayor of Yarrabah, Ross Andrew, and he's a part of local and regional co-design of a group development proposed framework for local and regional voices to help communities and all governments work better together on this movement. We've got Ross on the line. A very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Trev. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, thank you very much for coming to the program. Brother, first of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
My connection back to country is through Kuka Yalanji and Kuka Jungan, Western Mariba.
Yes.
I've been a Yarrabean boy all my life, so... Yeah, proud to be Yarrabean as well.
Fantastic, brother. Beautiful and beautiful space there. Big shout to all the Yarri mob, who always are strong, loyal listeners for BBM and National Talk Black. Look, a very important space, a voice for Indigenous Australian, local and regional co-design. Tell us the space that you're sitting in there, please, regarding voice for Indigenous Australians.
Thanks, Trev. Look, throughout 2020, 52 Australians developed a proposal for an Indigenous voice. It is made up of two parts, which is a local and regional voice and a national voice. As per the consultation workshop next week, we are gathering feedback across the country on the proposal, and there will be consultations in more than 60 locations around the country. We're in Cairns on Tuesday, the 13th of April.
Yep.
9 a.m. at the PCYC, Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
12 p.m. at the Cairns Colonial Club. 6 p.m. at Ridges Esplanade Resort. And on Wednesday, the 14th of April, we'll be in Napanee at the Susie Madua Conference Hall at 12:30 p.m. Then on to Weipa at the Western Cape Centre Conference and Training Facilities at 5:30 p.m. So the proposal that we've been working on and trying to gather feedback from countrymen all around the country is to provide a way for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians to provide advice and input on matters that are important to improve their lives.
Yes.
The local and regional voice would be a community-designed and led governance structure at a regional level. The national voice would be a national body made up of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that provides advice to the Australian Parliament and government. All Australians, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, are invited to attend to provide feedback on the proposals. Feedback is really important, so the best possible proposal can be presented in the final report to the Australian government. For those who can't make a session next week, they can still participate and provide feedback by completing a survey or submission or attending a webinar.
So it's an opportunity for mob to have their say.
That's correct, Trev.
Yes.
We want to hear what community is saying, families, organisations. We want to hear from the local voices as well as the quiet voices.
And all aspect of life, hey, work, employment, education, housing, all the above.
Absolutely, Trev. We all know that the top-down approach doesn't work. So
exactly.
We need to try and flip it and see if we can get, you know. And our mob have been saying this for many, many
exactly.
years. Exactly.
We sound like broken records, aren't we, brother?
That's correct, yeah. Mm. So this journey really started long before before me anyway.
Yeah, of course.
There's been
all our activists, all our mob, our elders who fought before us are with us in spirit. The fight is still continuing.
That's correct, yeah. We still have to maintain that fire in our belly, I guess.
Yeah.
And continue the fight and the struggle for our mob to have a voice and to have a really say in determining our communities.
Look, this could be a tiger with teeth. This could be a strong vehicle for our mob.
Yeah, well, if you ever look at, the journey to co-design is, we've had many, many reports previously, and I'll just go through them quickly.
Yes.
In 2008, there was a Social Justice Commission issues paper building a sustainable Indigenous representative body, so... In 2012, there was the Expect Panel on Constitutional Recognition. 2015, there was a Joint Select Committee on Constitutional Recognition of ACT Peoples. 2017, there was a Referendum Council. 2017 also allowed many of the dialogue sessions through the Uluru Statement from the Heart. They talked about a voice truth-telling agreement making. So the Joint Committee in 2018 of the Select Joint Committee on Constitutional Recognition acknowledged the work that they did from 2017 from Uluru. So
yep.
In 2019 there was the election commitment by the Prime Minister and the Minister for Indigenous Affairs. So we're at 2019-2020 where we're designing or co-designing a voice process. So it's been a journey.
Sure.
And as I said before, the journey started long before
exactly.
Many of us.
Exactly. And look, we're not going to go away until we get what we need and what's respected for First Nation people in this country. And look, our voice for Indigenous Australians, like I said, a great opportunity for mob to have their say and give input in regards to the vehicle that we're driving into the future. Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, I think our last voice was ACTIC.
Yeah. That's way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming back from Vietnam War, so to speak.
Yeah. And this co-design journey, and our families and our communities have been saying it for years, that we need a voice to Parliament, you know, and a voice to government.
Yes.
So this process that we're undertaking is to try and find that or define what a voice looks like.
Yep.
How can we have better representation and better methods of dealing with government and sitting at the table and negotiating, you know?
And regarding the co-design, how many people sitting at the table there, my brother?
Well, there were 52.
Yep.
There are 52 First Nations as well as non-Indigenous representatives.
Okay.
From north, south, east, west, and in the remote rural, you know, the metropolitan areas as well.
Yes.
So we are, I know that there was extensive work done in terms of the literature that's been done previously.
Yep.
And how can we best, you know, maximise these opportunities for mob, you know, and because it is a struggle.
Yep.
A struggle with government.
So when you're talking about 52 people, you're talking about, like I said, mainly First Nation people, a few non-Indigenous brothers and sisters at the table as well. But when you're talking about that amount of people, you're talking about good heads at the table from all different industries and backgrounds and education, academia and cultural aspects. So it's a good bunch of people.
Yeah, it is. At the local regional level, there are very prominent leaders who have been, you know, embarking on or continuing the fight.
Yes.
Over many decades, and you know, I think it's very important to acknowledge the work that they've done and the work that they continue to do. And it's just really good to be around people that, I guess, you know, are getting up, standing up and having a say and continuing with the journey of our struggles.
Yes, exactly. So where do people find information regarding the meetings? Or can you give us a web page or some sort of communication there, please?
Yeah, the interim report and the fact sheets are all available on the Indigenous Voice website. It's voice.nira.gov.au.
Okay.
There's many information out there. There's webinars, there's fact sheets.
Yes.
And, you know, we're having sessions all around the country. So next week, well, I think we've got 3 sessions in Cairns. And
yes.
We do a little bit of stuff up in Cape York for a couple of days as well. So.
Good. So for brothers and sisters out there that miss the actual face-to-face meetings, they can go online and have their say and add to the conversation, yep?
Absolutely. There's a survey that they need to complete if they want to put in a submission or a proposal as well. Now, the proposal or the deadline has been extended to 30th of April or 31st of April.
Yep.
And, you know, there's webinars, there's video sessions. There's a lot of information out there on the website.
Exactly. Look, a very important space you're working in, and look, a nice vehicle for our mob. We need something strong, and a voice for Indigenous Australians is up and running, and we need input. Look, thank you very much, Ross, for sharing with us. All the best. Please do keep in touch, and we'll keep promoting your webpage, your meetings, and let's have the conversations.
Yeah, thank you, Trev, and thanks to the listeners.
Take care. All the best, Ross. Thank you.
Okay,
bye. Bye. So there is beautiful Jan there. That's the mayor of Yarwa, Ross Andrews, and he's a part of the co-design, the local and regional co-design, A Voice for Indigenous Australians. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures are rich in culture, passing stories from generation to generation, and hold a unique place in the nation's history. So the next step is the story to make sure Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have more say on the laws and policies that impact their lives. So do add to the conversation. Go online to their webpage to check out all the face-to-face meetings coming to a town near you, voice.nia.gov.au, and very important that you can add to the conversation for our mob, First Nation people of this country, the Big Island, Australia. Have your say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. The moon and stars that always shine out on the ocean wave. And when the lazy waves roll by, like breezes blowing, memories, oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea is always a place for me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, wild night tree grows. Are you from Torres Strait or any place, including Central Way? Any place is just around by Mardi or Way. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. The moon and stars that always shine out on the ocean wave.
Yeah, beautiful track there. You from TI, the Mill Sisters, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. Everybody out there.
How are you travelling, brother? How are you?
Yeah, I don't know about PTSD.
Talk to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, like, Even that's wrong, Trevor. They call it post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, it's not a disorder, so you can, and it's not post, so I'm suffering from SD, which is now, you know?
Yes, the here and now.
Here and now, and I don't know, you know, you know the pressure of the show, and good on you.
Thank you, brother.
For long years. We've had a little bit of movement at the station out here regarding the fight with the Green Patch. An article in the Cairns Post.
Moving in a positive sense or negative sense? Where are we at?
Yes and no. The article was on page 3 of the Monday Post on Easter Monday, and they put in a thing fighting to restore the Green Patch glory. Now, the photographer came out about 2 weeks earlier, and it just happened that there was a bunch of Indigenous people there, and they were from all over. There was young people from here, tribal people, and they were showing around visitors from the island, and they were amazed that the place was shut. The photographer photographed them all at the gate. Well, the article that they put in the paper, they didn't put them in, and I complained afterwards. They put in 2 motorbike riders, and it was a miracle that day, because they'd been asking me all along, can I get an Indigenous voice? There was 4 really young, happy-go-lucky people there that couldn't get down the river, so they walked down and caught fish, and we had fish afterwards. And I only met them that day. It wasn't staged or anything.
And well, that would have been more meat on the bone with the story coming from them, Mob.
That's right, mate. And so I called the paper back, and I said, well, why didn't you put them in? And it's an old John Lennon song, I think. They're so frozen with fear, they can't cover racial issues or don't want to, or there's a big conspiracy of silence. And then they wrote in the paper quickly. I'll just read a little bit. It said that parts of the campgrounds are still off limits due to flood water, blah, blah. But Tony Gibbs, who has spent the past 3 months monitoring activity at the Green Patch, they didn't set up in protesting, and I've been doing that for 6 months down here, a month before it shut. And it says later on in the paper, in December, Cairns Regional Council announced the campgrounds would partially reopen, except for the popular banks of the Mulgrave River, which is the headline, fighting to restore the Green Patch glory. But they didn't put on those Indigenous people on the front page. They pulled them on. They did them a disservice, and I can only apologise for getting them involved. I asked them if they wanted to talk to the press, and they were bright and beautiful, and they got up and they did. Now, going through all this paperwork here, and then I turned onto the local Cairns Talkback show that was on yesterday, and they wouldn't let me on. And I phoned back today, and he won't talk about it no more. And it's a local conspiracy to keep the place quiet. And I've been keeping the peace. I've found an old program here for the protest against the Cairns Post from way back. And it's called, entitled Keeping the Peace, and it says the non-violent assembly aims to focus public attention and criticism against the racist contents of the Cairns Post and support Aboriginal people and leadership. Well, by not putting those people in, and it was a miracle that they were there, and then they're always saying, can you get Indigenous people to stand up and talk, you know, and come on. And when I did get it, then they didn't put it in. So to me, that is a form of racism. And it says, you know, it is a peaceful thing. They're just bits of paper. And there's been announcements in the Post about the city sheriff rides alone. He's been put a boat. Discord and instability take the toll on City Hall. I do put down the Green Patch dispute as part of their problem. There's key decision makers feeling the heat as council cracking under the pressure, like the concrete of the Green Patch. They've had people there do repairs, and it's been a year old. We're waiting to see if the flood hits the toilet block. You know, they've taken away our civil rights to go to the river. This is quite a big Murray community. It's a dingy country. We're just south of Cairns, the Mulgrave River, in front of the pyramid, and we cannot access that place.
Can't access that beautiful place, exactly.
We cannot
access it. That's the argument from the get-go, hasn't it been, Tony?
That's the argument from the get-go. If they shut a beach, there would be people up in arms.
Uproar, yep, exactly.
Yeah, and so it goes on and on and on, because it is there. You know, the Green Patch, when we say the Green Patch, they think it's just the rest area or the camping ground folly that the council made. we call it the Glen Pax the River, down at the riverbank. That's where it is.
So well, it's a spiritual place. It's a place of harmony. It's a place of peace. And they've gated it off, locked it out, locked us out.
It's ridiculous, mate. And it was shut all for Easter. I witnessed travellers come. I don't want to talk about the travellers. I'm talking about the indigenous population and everybody in this town come and tell me. I spent 6 months there going up and down every day, put the flyers up. And that's all it is. I've got to make bigger flyers. There's a lot of fine print.
And those little flyers work. I mean, they get out and about and you get support, don't you, from locals?
We get support, mate, and people are taking them and they're putting
the media comes to the table, but they don't tell the real story.
The press is just incredible how it can not report a story, you know, fill the page up. And we're hearing about all these different damaged cultural sites around the country. There is no denying that that place, just because it's native, not native title, doesn't mean that they should shut access and and the noise is incredible, mate. The picture in the paper shows them a couple of riders coming out from under the bridge. And what they're doing is they're doing wheel stands across the old bridge. You know, we've got the new super bridge there, and then we've got the old little bridge which is the end.
Well, they're destroying the peace and tranquility of the area, aren't they, those motorbikes?
Yeah, mate, they're destroying the peace of our recreation area.
Yep.
And it is. There's a big camera in front of the facilities they've made there, and it's all on camera. There's no. There was a police car turned up yesterday and they checked out under the bridge. There was just a school.
Tony, thanks for the heads up. I've got to go to news, but thank you, my brother.
Okay, go to get on. There's a lot more, Trev. I haven't got time today. It's hard to do in the last few minutes of the show, mate. I'll try to win back two.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Tony Gibbs there having his say. Murray, got a sign off your mob. Got the news coming up very soon. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and stay safe. We're still in a pandemic, your mob. Too deadly.
Across Australia, this is Callan Murray with the National Indigenous News. The McArthur River Mine has entered into talks with the Northern Land Council and traditional owners to negotiate an Indigenous Land Use Agreement, or ILUA. The zinc and lead mine located in Gulf Country in the Northern Territory has been plagued by controversy in the past. They've had numerous environmental incidents and poor regulation concerning the local traditional owners. Territory Labor MP Warren Snowden, who is on the committee that conducted the Juukan Gorge inquiry, says he is encouraged by the mine's desire to negotiate. He told NITV that mining companies need to do better in building relationships with First Nations people.
The days of having cowboy mining companies operating in the Gulf are over, and the world needs to recognise the Juukan Gorge has put a spotlight on mining companies right across the country. And not only mining companies, but people wanting to develop on Aboriginal land close to sacred sites or potentially damaged sacred sites, there's a light being shone on them. And the days have gone where you could do what you like. It's now a process which has got to be transparent, open, and Aboriginal interests have got to be properly protected and properly involved.
The Dadjua Foundation was launched over the weekend to help provide coordinated and culturally appropriate support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families whose loved ones have died in custody. Founded by April Day, the daughter of Auntie Tanya Day, whose family's advocacy after her tragic death led to a commitment from the Victorian government to abolish the offence of public drunkenness. The Dadjua Foundation was established to leverage the current public support for this work and provide a coordinated approach